Dear fellow servants of our loving, powerful Lord, grace and peace to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Impossible. Look very carefully sometime at what a woodpecker's doing and you will say, that's impossible. Do you ever realize that a woodpecker hits its head against the side of a tree at 1,000 times the force of gravity? 1,000 G's, they call that. And I don't understand how it doesn't knock itself loopy. You think about us, if we would hit our head at a tree, on a tree at 100 times the force of gravity, we would be dead. And yet the woodpecker sits there on the side of the tree all day long, as far as I know, and just whaps its head against that side of the tree. How does it do that? Its tongue goes all the way from its mouth to the back of its brain and goes up to the top of its head and acts as a shock absorber so it can do that. It's the only kind of bird that does that, that is made that way. And I mean made that way because even scientists recognize that that's no way that could happen by accident. I couldn't have evolved that way over millions of years. How would that have ever happened? It took a great designer to come up with that plan to make that impossible happen. God is into the impossible. Our great designer has the ability to make possible anything that he wants to make possible. He's the one who created the universe in all of its vast array. He's the one who parted the Red Sea and stopped the flow of the Jordan River. He's the one who stopped the sun in the sky for a day so that Joshua could track down the enemy at Gibeon. And probably the greatest impossible thing that God did was he took our cold, stony hearts and made them pliable and warm so that we would believe in Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. Our God deals in the impossible all the time. In these words from Luke before us today in chapter 1, we're going to see that it's not impossible for God to have a virgin bear a child. It's not impossible for God to have that child to become a king, and it's not impossible for that king to rule forever, and it's not impossible for us to be the reason for all of that to happen. This is what Luke records for us. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Putting this into context, the 6th month that's being referred to here is the 6th month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, who's married to Zechariah, the high priest that year. And this was the 6th month of her pregnancy with a little baby whose name would be John, and you and I know him as John the Baptist. What's interesting, though, is that Elizabeth was a senior citizen. She had been barren her whole life, and now she was going to have this baby. What was impossible, God made possible. But that's not the only impossible thing that's taking place here. There's a relative of Elizabeth who came to visit her. Her name is Mary. And Mary is expecting a child too. The angel Gabriel, just as he had told Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that they were going to have a child, also came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child as well." Now, Mary was not a senior citizen. She was young, of childbearing age, but you know what the problem is. She was a virgin. A virgin can have a child? That's impossible. Well, usually. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." We can imagine that she was confused. Thankfully, the angel Gabriel kindly answered her question. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." Little baby John was the answer to Elizabeth's prayers. He was her miracle baby. But Jesus inside of Mary was not the answer to her prayers. She wasn't expecting a baby at this time. This wasn't in her plans. This was not the time for her to have a baby in her mind. And rightly so. But it was God's time. Remember how the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, right? This was God's time, and it was his plan, and so he made the impossible become possible. Mary was the fulfillment of a prophecy that God had given through the prophet Isaiah 7 centuries before this. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. The Holy Spirit also moved Mary to believe this impossible thing that Gabriel, the angel, just said to her. And she responded with this humble, obedient heart when she said, "May it be to me as you have said." Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I would learn to respond so humbly and obediently to God when he speaks to us in his word as well? So we have this first impossible thing, that a virgin's going to have a baby. But now there's another impossible thing. The Lord will give him, this baby of yours, the throne of his father David. Well, David wasn't his father, but it was his ancestor. That's what he meant by father. But how in the world was that going to be? This had to be an impossible thing. David had reigned 1,000 years before Jesus was born to Mary. And his whole family line was a train wreck. I mean, the whole nation of Israel fell apart through intrigue and through rebellion and uprisings and you name it, and the nation split, and you had Israel to the north and Judah to the south, and it all fell apart, and eventually David's whole family tree, his monarchy tree, was a cut off branch. It was a cut off trunk of a tree, and was nothing left to it at all. And so it was a mess. So how in the world could he ever become somebody who was reigning like David from this kingly line? What seemed to be impossible, however, did take place, because from this stump, a shoot began to grow. The stump of David's family line, a shoot, a branch would grow. Behold, a branch is growing, we're going to be singing at Christmas time. And that branch was Jesus. I remember when I lived in Puerto Rico, branches used to grow out of farmers' fence posts because it was so fertile and so humid there that things would just grow there. And to me, that seemed like a miracle that that could happen, coming from Wisconsin. But now we have this stump that starts to grow. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And so the son was going to be a king, but he would not just be a king, he would be a holy king. He would have no sin. Not one time during the course of his life would he ever say, think, or do anything that was against his father's will. He would love his father, he would love his neighbor exactly as he should, and he would rule perfectly, a perfect king. That's impossible. A perfect ruler? We've seen plenty of rulers, and there's none of them that are perfect, but this one was going to be. And there's another impossibility that takes place here too. Gabriel says, he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That's impossible, right? Kingdoms end. All kingdoms have to come to an end. I mean, even the Roman Empire, you put together the Roman Republic along with the Roman Empire, it lasted almost 1,000 years before it finally crumbled. And you remember that it crumbled from within because of lack of moral standards. And we think about the United States. We always think that it's going to always be here the way that it is now. Well, it's only been around a quarter of a time that the Roman Empire was around. And we need to watch out too about our standards, because we may not be here forever. Jesus even said it once when he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But here, the angel Gabriel is talking to Mary and to us about a rule, a kingdom that will never end. This kingdom is different. Jesus told Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. The truth is that Jesus' forever kingdom, his eternal kingdom, was established and solidified by his death on the cross. This one single death, which was a trifling matter to the Roman government, I mean, After all, they crucified hundreds of people all the time. And so you have this one death that changed the course of human history, and not just for a while, but forever. This one death would defeat the devil and gain forgiveness of sins for every human being that ever lived on the face of this planet or ever will live, and then brought about the truth that we will be able to live forever with our King in his eternal kingdom. We sing often at this time of the year the Hallelujah Chorus. Remember that refrain that is sung over and over again? And he shall reign forever and ever. Do we need any other reason to celebrate Christmas? The impossible has happened. We've been given a place to live forever with a holy, perfect King. But there's one more impossible thing too, and that's the reason that Jesus did all of this. He did all of this for you and for me. Now that seems really impossible too when you think about who we are. We are rebellious, stubborn people and stiff-necked as we are described in the Old Testament. We think and we say and we do things that are sometimes just truly disgusting and not kind at all and selfish. And yet Jesus was willing to come to do all this for us so that we could live in his forever kingdom. I mean, everything that we've been talking about here and everything that we're going to talk about during the season of Christmas and during the season of the church year was done for us. The angel Gabriel coming to Mary, Mary having a baby in Bethlehem, shepherds coming to visit her, and later on, wise men coming to visit her. And Jesus' death on the cross and his empty tomb on Easter Sunday, it was all done because of you and me. Every bit of it, simply because God in his grace loved us and wants us to be his own people. That's impossible love, but God made it possible. There's a legend, a story about a man who accidentally walked into a pit of quicksand and he started sinking. And so the religious, the spiritual guru, Confucius, happened to walk by at the time. He saw the man's predicament and he said, "It is evident that men should stay out of places like this," and he walked on. And then Buddha came by and saw the same man in the quicksand, and he said, "Let this man's plight be a lesson to all people." And then Muhammad came by, who was the prophet of Islam, and he saw the man in the quicksand, and he said, "Alas, it is Allah's will that this be so." And then finally Jesus came by, and he said, "Take my hand, brother, and let me save you." There's a huge difference between the religions of the world and the faith that God has implanted in your heart. The religion that says, "I need to do this on my own so that I can have eternity," and the religion that says, "I have given you the gift of a child who will grow up to be your Savior and wants you to be with him forever in paradise." And so, fellow believers, we can quit banging our heads against the side of the tree like a woodpecker, trying to save ourselves and come up with some plan to make sure we have eternal life, because you can relax. Jesus has come. And therefore, you can rejoice this Christmas and always. Amen. Please remain seated. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue now with hymn 379.